small business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions,
our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Welcome to episode 35 of Not a Real Job, a podcast about online marketing, social media for small businesses, entrepreneurs, artists, and anyone else who wants to learn a little bit more about that sort of thing. I'm Joel Kelly, and I do social media strategy and execution for travel and tourism brands.
And I am Chris Van Patten, and I do website design and development for solo entrepreneurs around the world from New York City.
Cool. What are you drinking this week?
Just water. I went out for this walk and I thought maybe I'll grab a milkshake or something like that for the show, but I decided against it because sugar and badness and all that kind of stuff.
Huh. What about you? Scotch and soda.
Nice.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it classy, classic. Yep. All that good stuff.
Totally. So, big news this week.
Big news. The Doodle Kickstarter is live.
Yeah.
So if you've been following us for maybe the past month or two we talk a lot about Doodle, which is a great game that we have both played. And geez, when did we first get tuned into Doodle? What episode was that?
End of January, early February, something.
Yeah, so it's been a little while. When Doodle's creator, Oz, wrote into the show with a couple of questions. And we've been following the progress of Doodle ever since. And Oz came to our meetup with her boyfriend, Ben. Boyfriend, right?
Husband.
One of those two things. Yeah. They're in some sort of committed long-term relationship.
Which, it's kind of funny, like, how unnecessary to specify. Exactly.
Totally. But either way, she came, she brought the game, we all played the game, it was a blast, and now you can get your hands on the game as well. And the URL to sign up, or to put your money in, rather, for the Kickstarter is doodlegame.com. There's a Kickstarter link right on the homepage, and that is doodlegame.com. So check that out. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. Did you see the doodle that they made for us?
Yes, I did.
So, yeah, to give you just the basic information you need, Doodle is a game of drawing ridiculous phrases that are kind of randomly generated through the cards you select. So I assume Oz, but perhaps Ben, drew this, a doodle of hilarious podcasters answering the audience badly, which, you know. And then it's me and Chris.
Basically sums up the show.
Yeah. So good. Anyway, that'll be in the show notes, so you can check that out. And it'll probably be the highlighted image for the post. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely check out Doodle, back them. And this is Doodle, I think, represents, I don't know, I don't want to get too philosophical about the whole thing, but I think this is how this kind of thing is just, it's going to work in the future. The Kickstarter campaign or Indiegogo or whatever platform it is, with a very specifically defined goal, like this is what we're trying to accomplish, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it just a sort of an open, you know, Doodle, Oz has been great about sharing the progress and the process behind, you know, picking suppliers, setting up the Kickstarter. So definitely check it out, because it's kind of cool to follow along, not just as a cool game that you should play, but as maybe sort of a living case study of how you can sell and get money for doing, you know, making a thing that you love.
Yeah, totally. I hope it all works out. My personal plea to our listeners is that you help back this game, because I really want a copy. So I really want the Kickstarter to get funded. They're at about $1,400 of a $10,000 goal over the last couple days. So looks like it's doing not too bad so far. So hopefully it all works out. I like their video, their Kickstarter video, kind of outlines where all those costs come from, outlining that it's like they really only need like 8,000, I think. And then the rest is, you know, what they need to ship and produce the backer reward. So it's kind of interesting to hear those stats.
Yeah. And I believe, and I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Oz tweeted the other day that she's also putting an ad in on a popular podcast. That's not ours for the record, but I think it, I don't want to say for sure, but I do believe it is the same podcast that we advertised on that many of you came to us through. So it'll be interesting to see how that has a tangible impact or not, I guess. Hopefully it has an impact on the Kickstarter. So we already went down how it helped us, and I'm definitely interested to see how it impacts Doodle.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hopefully that works out.
Maybe I'm just going to put this out there. Maybe we could have Oz on the show after the campaign ends, just to do a little segment and talk about how her ad went, the process of the Kickstarter. Because we do get a lot of similar questions. You know, how do I kickstart this thing, or how do I get people to back the thing that I'm working on? So it might be interesting to hear from somebody who is in that process right now.
It's a good idea. Should we think about doing guests regularly? Is that a thing we should try?
Why don't you tell us, audience?
Yeah, let us know if you wanna. If you think we should have guests, if you're someone who you think should be on the show, or you know someone that you would want to talk to us on the show, let us know. I think we finally got our internet issues sorted out, so we could probably handle another Skype connection without it all falling apart. So
definitely
let us know about that. So that's Doodle. That's Kickstarter. Check it out. I think it's really, really interesting. The other thing we wanted to update you all on, or y'all, as is the common parlance, top 10 online marketing commandments. Where are we on that? So in the last episode, we said if you signed up for our newsletter, which is notarealjob.com/signup,
mm-hmm.
Then we'll send you our top 10 online marketing commandments. So after I announced that we were doing that on the show, Chris and I just, put together kind of our top 10 bits of advice about, you know, online marketing, running a team, running a small business, all those other things. So that's going to get sent out. When do you think that'll be?
I think we'll probably do it after this show goes out. So after Wednesday, maybe Friday, maybe early the following week, just to give people a time to sign up. But so we've got the commandments written out. It's just now a question of getting those into an email that looks relatively nice.
Yeah.
And scheduling that to send. So we did see a couple subscribers. I don't want to give out exact numbers because you have to wait until the end of the month for that. But we did get people subscribing there, and hopefully this week we'll get even more people subscribing.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, and sign up, even if the top 10 online marketing commandments doesn't sound, you know, particularly appealing to you. I think that's kind of our goal. We want the email newsletter to actually have value for you. Like, we will regularly, we will either send out something worthwhile and interesting, or we won't send out anything at all. So don't feel bad about signing up. We're not going to just send you junk for the sake of sending out an email.
Yeah.
So, no risk signing.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would say, not so much about, what we're going to send out, but we did talk about in the show last week, putting a subscribe option more prominently on the website. Did not do that. So I am impressed that we got as many signups as we did, given the fact that we actually didn't make any changes to the site. I will do that. I'm not going to promise anything. I'll try to do it this week, but we'll see what happens.
Oh man, how you know what, Chris, I'm just gonna go in there and I'm gonna make a bunch of changes to the website, and you can fix it after I break it.
That sounds like an agreeable plan.
Okay.
I am okay with that.
Yeah, just hand me the keys, it'll be fine. I've had a few beers, but I'm cool. the other and possibly the most important thing we need to talk about was a little website called joelkelly.ca.
So
on the last episode,
that was my attempt to be like good grief, even though I had a mouthful of water. So,
okay, that explains it. It was a little sloshy.
Yeah.
So on the last episode, we kind of hung a lantern on the fact that I mentioned joelkelly.ca, where you can purchase my book, on, you know, a lot of episodes, many times during many different episodes of the show. And we suggested, wouldn't it be funny if someone made a supercut of all of those mentions? And someone actually did. Let me pull up the tweet that kind of blew my mind when I saw it. Probably should have this up. From Eli Braver? sorry, at @rats7 on Twitter sent me a tweet saying, have you heard of a site called joelkelly.ca with a YouTube link? And when I clicked that, it totally made my whole weekend, made my week, probably highlight of my life, maybe. So it's a really dark path to start wandering down when something, you know, someone who listens to our show doing something like this may constitute the best thing that's ever happened to me.
That's deep.
Anyway,
I think for me, the takeaway is that if we say things, people will do them or make the things that we say that people should make. And that's a little frightening and also amazing. So,
well, we just need to use this power, if not for good, then for at least monetary gain. So,
or for our own personal entertainment.
Right.
Which I guess is rolled into for good,
I guess. Yeah. So anyway, Steve is going to put in that clip right here.
JoelKelly.ca.
JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca. JoelKelly.ca/blog. JoelKelly.ca. 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 And most importantly, JoelKelly.ca is where you can buy my book, No Greater Love Than This. And then you heard it. Then you heard it and it was done.
And we'll put the link to the YouTube video in the show notes as well. Yeah. So you can check it out there.
Cool. So yeah, that was basically the best. We didn't get any listener questions this week. So I guess speaking of we say things and you do them, please send us in your questions. We had a good run there of lots of different questions. So send them in. If you've sent in a question before and we didn't answer it, feel free to send it again. notarealjob.com/questions.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess since we don't have any questions, I'm just going to rant for a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
Not really a rant, but just sort of an interesting problem I've been facing. So my company, Van Patten Media, we do websites. And for a long time, our focus has been really on websites in the arts and culture sector, because I come from a theater background. I know a lot of people in the theater. So it's sort of like live entertainment projects were really what came our way. But over the past couple of weeks, I should back up a second. With those arts and cultural theatery clients, things like that, budgets are always very tight. Mm. Partly because it's very hard to make money in the arts. Partly because the types of clients that I was dealing with. So I was mainly working with off-Broadway clients. And if you know anything about the theater industry, or in New York especially, there are hundreds of off-Broadway shows and companies and things, and none of them have any money. Broadway, on the other hand, is very different in that Broadway shows tend to have money, you know, so they can afford a $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 site, whatever it is. But there are only so many Broadway shows that can open in a season, because there are only so many Broadway theaters, that the market is, it's very hard to break in there, because there are 3 to 4 different agencies, big agencies, you know, with hundreds of employees, that have really got a monopoly on that level of client. So it's been sort of an interesting couple of weeks, because I've been getting a lot of leads for different clients who aren't in the arts and culture sector, who aren't in theater, brands that I think are very much lifestyle brands, or brands that are aspiring to be. But the common denominator has been for a lot of these that they are solo entrepreneurs starting their own projects. Or if not solo entrepreneurs, you know, teams of entrepreneurs who are either creating new projects or rebranding their projects, things like that. So which is why I think this week at the start of the episode, I sort of tried out that we do websites for solo entrepreneurs, because as I'm sort of realizing that without growing substantially and bringing on dozens and dozens of employees, I'm not going to be able to get into the caliber of client, you know, in the theater industry. Certainly not as an outsider, because there is so much competition. There's been a lot of thinking, like, what can I do to make Van Patten Media continue to grow in a different sector? So I'm sort of settling on solo entrepreneurs, small business owners, and really, you know, figuring out, because there are certainly hundreds of resources on entrepreneurship and running a small business and things like that. So, you know, how do we set ourselves apart in that sphere?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I think, you know, a challenge a lot of people face, you know, and I think maybe I'm jumping too far ahead, but I think a lot of it comes down to the clients you want versus the clients you can get. I think that's something that people in the creative, you know, atmosphere, you know, even artists, down to agencies, down to everything else, have this issue where the people that they want to have their clients for whatever reason, whether it's like, you know, institutional, as you're saying, a Broadway show already has an agency, they're already working with, you know, a big company, it's hard for you to break in, there's only so many shows. Or, you know, it's an artist who wants to have their work, you know, in an incredible gallery and not, you know, be doing commissions for banks to have in their lobby. I'm trying to find it here, but I can't. But Hugh McLeod actually had a cartoon about this that I can't find. But it's basically, you know, the art or the work you do to make money and the art or the work you do out of passion. And it sounds like you're kind of in that position of there's work that you're super, super passionate about, which is, of course, art and theater, because that's your background. And then there's the work you can get.
Yeah.
The work that's easier to get. And I think there's nothing wrong with focusing on, you know, making money for the business and positioning yourself that you can take, you know, some more risk. You can go after those other clients that might not pay off if the bills are being paid elsewhere. And I think, I don't know, from my perspective, I think that's usually the safest and typically the best way to go, especially for a small company where, you know, you can't afford to not be working.
Definitely. And I will say, you know, the idea of focusing on solo entrepreneurs, you know, small business founders, things like that, startup founders, is not an unappealing idea.
Of course. I mean, my wording there isn't.
No. But, you know, because I do feel like that's a market that I can sort of reach out to and talk to on their level, you know, much as in the way that we're doing it on this show. So it's really sort of a question of positioning ourselves, one, you know, to be the top, you know, WordPress resource, figuring out what ancillary services come along with that. So we sort of, the websites that we build are designed to be very business owner friendly in the sense that you don't need code experience to make almost any change to the site. So maybe part of our services now become, you know, we will find you a virtual assistant who we can actually train to maintain your website for you. You know, things like that, you know, so sort of intersecting my interest in, you know, entrepreneurship and running a business with outsourcing and things like that. But even aside from that, so that's sort of all branding at the end of the day, like, you know, who we're positioning ourselves for, who our inbound marketing is really targeting. But there is the other component, which I think small business owners also face, which is scaling, right? So I have several different clients right now who sort of fit in nicely into this category of solo entrepreneurship, and the budgets have increased, which is great. So I'm not quite where I think I want to be, but I am infinitely better than I was certainly at the start of this podcast so many months ago. But then the what really I'm finding out is that as the budgets grow and as the projects grow, you know, there was a time a couple months ago where I thought, okay, great, you know, if I hit this budget mark, then I can start hiring out and I can do all these things and it's going to get easier. And that's not the case. As the budgets increase, the problems increase, and the amount of work increases, which maybe I was definitely naive for thinking that that wouldn't be the case, that it would get easier. But I'm finding that it's not the silver bullet that I thought it was. So a lot of my time recently has been, you know, one, overworking myself, trying to keep up with all of these different projects, but also, you know, figuring out how to scale and find people who can do my job. And there's no easy answer for that. And I guess I'm not really asking for any definitive solution. But I think it's a problem that a lot of small business owners face and no one really talks about.
Well, and then the opportunity, you know, for catharsis and for getting new clients is probably the same thing, which is to talk about it more, to, you know, to write that blog post that you've already gotten, that's already written in your head about the struggles that you're having as an entrepreneur. You know, and obviously, why wouldn't solo entrepreneurs want to work with someone who's facing the same issues they are and understands it and knows how to help their business and knows, you know, what they're going through and can find the solutions for it. So I think that's definitely something that people would want to read about. And it's absolutely something that I think would appeal to people who you're trying to work for.
Yeah, definitely. It could, not to get too far down that rabbit hole, but I mean, I don't think people really talk about how hard it is to run a business. And I don't want to get too far into this, like I keep saying, but, you know, in the past 10 days, I've gotten 3 different letters from New York State suggesting that I owed them over $5,000 in total. Now, I'm pretty sure that I don't, and I don't want to get into the legal stuff that's going on behind the scenes here, but, you know, I think things like this happen a lot, where, you know, you start up your business and you file the paperwork and, you know, 6 months, a year later, you find out, oh, you actually forgot to do X, Y, and Z, or, you know, and I'm not ever going to be the resource on exactly, you know, what legal steps you need to take and that kind of thing. But I think it's worth saying out loud, because I think a lot of the business podcasts, the business blogs, things like that, really focus on the upsides of running your own business. You know, you're going to have so much freedom and you're your own boss. You know, you can take a day off and whatever. And a lot of that is true to a degree. But there's so much more that people aren't talking about with regards to starting a business. So I guess the moral of what I'm saying here to all of these small business owners or want to be small business owners in the audience is that at least I get it. And at the very least, there's one person out there who's like, yeah, it's not easy. And, you know, yet I wake up every day and try to put in the work, you know, try to put in the hours because I can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah, I think there is definitely room for someone who kind of sees beyond or sees above how much we fetishized startup culture and starting a business. You know, of course, you know, like all those sayings, and it's not untrue that, you know, America runs on small business, and it is good and it is important. It is awesome that there are people out there, but pretending that it's easy is probably more dangerous than anything else.
Totally. And I think there is this sort of, you know, we fetishize startups. I love the way you put that. And America does run on small business, but at the same time, and not to get, I really don't want to get like political about this, but man, we don't make it easy. We really,
yeah.
You know, there's no, you know, startabusiness.gov or something. Maybe that is a thing, but you know, there is no single place online that's like, here are the 10 steps you need to download with links to the PDF forms. Fill this out like this, fill this out like this. You know, it really, if you want to do it right, and clearly I didn't do it right, you know, I did it all myself, but if you want to do it right, you're going to end up paying thousands of dollars to an attorney who understands the intricacies of the laws and things. And there's really no hope for that changing. We have, you know, in America anyway, we have 200 years, 250 years almost of legal baggage that sort of dictates why all of these certain things form this way, and why as a solo entrepreneur you also have to pay unemployment that you can't claim. It just, all these weird little quirks in the law, you know, workers' comp applies to everyone even though the law is tailored to the construction industry, just all kinds of weird things like that. But man, if someone were to put together a resource that was like, here are the 15 different bullet points, what you need to do exactly, yeah, it's hard, but we're going to guide you through it, I would pay money for that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people in the community, like Mike Montero's book, Design is a Job, I think his answer to everything is, yeah, it sucks and it's going to cost you a fortune, but in the long run, just having a lawyer is probably the way to go.
Oh, totally.
He said your company should have a lawyer as soon as you start calling yourself a professional.
Yeah, and I'm realizing now that that I made a mistake by not going that route. So I guess, you know, takeaways here, business is hard. You should pay a lot of money for a lawyer. suck it up because it's worth it. And New York State, you suck right now so hard. that last one's personal. But yeah.
Well,
yeah, we got
fair enough.
Little real talk there this week. Mm-hmm. But I think every once in a while it's
well, I look forward to reading your blog posts about this, because I think this is something that there's room for people to talk a little bit more about, especially from someone who, you know, am I going to start my own business one day? I don't know. Probably not, because I don't think I'm that type of person. But, you know, were I to, or I knew someone who was interested in, I think that's the kind of thing that would be good to read, to hear all sides of it. And not from a negative point of view, but just from realistic.
Yeah.
These are the day-to-day struggles. And even despite all this, it's still worth it. It's kind of a better message for me than it's all sunshine and rainbows, which isn't believable.
Totally. Because I don't want to discourage anyone. I mean, yes, you know, there are some late night moments where I'm like, God, I am making a huge mistake. But at the end of the day, and, you know, in the light of the day, when I'm rested and not totally depressed about the state of things, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I don't see myself trading it for the world. So, yeah, there we have it.
Cool. Okay. I'm running a little long, so let's burn through some housekeeping. Check out Doodle's Kickstarter. Link will be in the show notes. Please support it, because we want this game. notarealjob.com/questions. Send us in your questions. We want to hear. Or do you have, like, I mean, let's branch out. Do you have questions for Chris about what it's been like running a small business? Do you have questions for me about why I work for a company? One of those things being, twice a month money arrives in my bank account and I didn't have to chase after it. that's a perk. Send us in your question. We'd love to hear them. Do you want guests? If so, who should it be? How often should we do that? What else do we have?
We're on Twitter at Narjcast, NARJcast. We are on Stitcher now as well, notarealjob.com/Stitcher. And I just got an email the other day from a similar Stitcher-like service, and I don't remember the name of it, but I think we'll probably be submitting to them as well. So we're just trying to be everywhere, and do leave us a review. I haven't checked in on iTunes lately, but if you haven't done that, it's super helpful. So you can do that at notarealjob.com/iTunes. And if you're a Stitcher user, you can also leave us a separate review there, which is always appreciated.
And again, sign up for the newsletter so you can get our top 10 online marketing commandments, notarealjob.com/signup. And if you are a solo entrepreneur and want Chris to work for you and build you a cool website, go to vanpattonmedia.com.
Oh, thank you. And if you want to buy Joel's book, joelkelly.ca.
Thanks, buddy.
Anytime. All right. Talk to you all next week.
All right. Bye, everybody. joelkelly.ca.